Mistborn, Secret History. This novella contains major spoilers for the original Mistborn trilogy and minor spoilers for the Bands of Mourning. Part 1. Empire. 1. Kelsier burned the 11th medal. Nothing changed. He still stood in that Luthadel square, facing down the Lord Ruler. A hushed audience, both Ska and Noble, watched at the perimeter. A squeaking wheel turned lazily in the wind, hanging from the side of the overturned prison wagon nearby. An Inquisitor's head had been nailed to the wood of the wagon's bottom, held in place by its own spikes. Nothing changed, while everything changed. For to Kelsier's eyes, two men now stood before him. One was the immortal Emperor, who had dominated for 1,000 years, an imposing figure with jet-black hair and a chest stuck through with two spears that he didn't even seem to notice. Next to him stood a man with the same features, but a completely different demeanor. A figure cloaked in thick furs, nose and cheeks flush as if cold. His hair was tangled and windswept, his attitude jovial, smiling. It was the same man. "Can I use this?" Kelsier thought, frantic. Black ash fell lightly between them. The Lord Ruler glanced toward the Inquisitor that Kelsier had killed. "Those are very hard to replace," he said, his voice imperious. That tone seemed a direct contrast to the man beside him, a vagabond, a mountain man wearing the Lord Ruler's face. "This is what you really are," Kelsier thought, but that didn't help. It was only further proof that the 11th medal wasn't what Kelsier had once hoped. The medal was no magical solution for ending the Lord Ruler. He would have to rely instead upon his other plan. And so, Kelsier smiled.
"I killed you once," the Lord Ruler said.
"You tried," Kelsier replied, his heart racing. "The other plan, the secret plan."
"But you can't kill me, Lord Tyrant. I represent that thing you've never been able to kill, no matter how hard you try. I am hope."
The Lord Ruler snorted. He raised a casual arm. Kelsier braced himself. He could not fight against someone who was immortal. Not alive, at least.
"Stand tall. Give them something to remember."
The Lord Ruler backhanded him. Agony hit Kelsier like a stroke of lightning. In that moment, Kelsier flared the 11th medal and caught a glimpse of something new. The Lord Ruler standing in a room. No, a cavern. The Lord Ruler stepped into a glowing pool, and the world shifted around him, rocks crumbling, the room twisting, everything changing. The vision vanished. Kelsier died. It turned out to be far more painful a process than he had anticipated. Instead of a soft fade to nothingness, he felt an awful tearing sensation, as if he were a cloth caught between the jaws of two vicious hounds. He screamed, desperately trying to hold himself together. His will meant nothing. He was rent, ripped, and hurled into a place of endless, shifting mists. He stumbled to his knees, gasping, aching. He wasn't certain what he knelt upon, as downward seemed to just be more mist. The ground rippled, like liquid, and felt soft to his touch. He knelt there, enduring, feeling the pain slowly fade away. At last he unclenched his jaw and groaned. He was alive. Kind of. He managed to look up. That same thick grayness shifted all around him. A nothingness? No, he could see shapes in it, shadows. Hills? And high in the sky, some kind of light. A tiny sun, perhaps, as seen through dense gray clouds. Kelsier breathed in and out, then growled, heaving himself to his feet. "Well," he proclaimed, "that was thoroughly awful." It did seem there was an afterlife, which was a pleasant discovery. Did this mean Mare was still out there somewhere? He'd always offered platitudes, talking to the others about being with her again some day. But deep down, he'd never believed, never really thought. The end was not the end. Kelsier smiled again, this time truly excited. He turned about, and as he inspected his surroundings, the mists seemed to withdraw. No, it felt like Kelsier was solidifying, entering this place fully. The withdrawal of the mists was more like a clearing of his own mind. The mists coalesced into shapes. Those shadows he'd mistaken for hills were buildings, hazy and formed of shifting mists. The ground beneath his feet was also mist, a deep vastness, like he was standing on the surface of the ocean. It was soft to his touch, like cloth, and even a little springy. Nearby lay the overturned prison wagon, but here it was made of mist. That mist shifted and moved, but the wagon retained its form. It was like the mist was trapped by some unseen force into a specific shape. More strikingly, the wagon's prison bars glowed on this side. Complementing them, other white-hot pinpricks of light appeared around him, dotting the landscape. Doorknobs, window latches. Everything in the living world was reflected here in this place, and while most things were shadowy mist, metal instead appeared as a powerful light. Some of those lights moved. He frowned, stepping toward one, and only then did he recognize that many of the lights were people. He saw each as an intense white glow radiating out from a human form. "Metal and souls are the same thing," he observed. "Who would have thought?" As he got his bearings, he recognized what was happening in the living world. Thousands of lights moved, flowing away. The crowd was running from the square. A powerful light with a tall silhouette strode in another direction. The Lord Ruler. Kelsier tried to follow, but stumbled over something at his feet. A misty form slumped on the ground, pierced by a spear. Kelsier's own corpse. Touching it was like remembering a fond experience. Familiar scents from his youth, his mother's voice. The warmth of lying on a hillside with Mare, looking up at the falling ash. Those experiences faded and seemed to grow cold. One of the lights from the mass of fleeing people, it was hard to make out individuals with everyone alight, scrambled toward him. At first he thought perhaps this person had been his spirit, but no, they ran to his corpse and knelt. Now that she was close, he could make out the details of this figure's features, cut of mist and glowing from deep within. "Ah, child," Kelsier said. "I'm sorry." He reached out and cupped Vin's face as she wept over him, and found he could feel her. She was solid to his ethereal fingers. She didn't seem able to feel his touch, but he caught a vision of her from the real world, cheeks stained with tears. His last words to her had been harsh, hadn't they? Perhaps it was a good thing that he and Mare had never had children. A glowing figure surged from the fleeing masses and grabbed Vin. Was that Ham? Had to be with that profile. Kelsier stood up and watched them withdraw. He had set plans in motion for them. Perhaps they would hate him for that.
"You let him kill you."
Kelsier spun, surprised to find a person standing beside him. Not a figure made of mist, but a man in strange clothing. A thin wool coat that went down almost to his feet, and beneath it a shirt that was laced closed, with a kind of conical skirt. That was tied with a belt that had a bone-handled knife stuck through a loop. The man was short, with black hair and a prominent nose. Unlike the other people, who were made of light, this man looked normal, like Kelsier. Since Kelsier was dead, did this make the man another ghost? "Who are you?" Kelsier demanded.
"Oh, I think you know."
The man met Kelsier's eyes, and in them Kelsier saw eternity. a cool, calm eternity. The eternity of stones that saw generations pass, or of careless depths that didn't notice the changing of days, for light never reached them anyway. Oh, hell, Kelsier said. There's actually a god?
Yes.
Kelsier decked him. It was a good, clean punch, thrown from the shoulder while he brought his other arm up to block a counter-strike. Docs would be proud. God didn't dodge. Kelsier's punch took him right across the face, connecting with a satisfying thud. The punch tossed God to the ground, though when he looked up, he seemed more shocked than pained. Kelsier stepped forward.
What the hell is wrong with you? You're real and you're letting this happen?
He waved toward the square where, to his horror, he saw lights winking out. The Inquisitors were attacking the crowd.
I do what I can.
The fallen figure seemed to distort for a moment, bits of him expanding, like mists escaping an enclosure.
I do. I do what I can. It is in motion, you see.
Kelsier recoiled a step, eyes widening as God came apart, then pulled back together. Around him, other souls made the transition. Their bodies stopped glowing, then their souls lurched into this land of mists, stumbling, falling, as if ejected from their bodies. Once they arrived, Kelsier saw them in color. The same man, God, appeared near each of them. There were suddenly over a dozen versions of him, each identical, each speaking to one of the dead. The version of God near Kelsier stood up and rubbed his jaw.
Nobody has ever done that before.
What, really?
Kelsier asked.
No. Souls are usually too disoriented. Some do run, though.
He looked to Kelsier. Kelsier made fists. God stepped back and, amusingly, reached for the knife at his belt. Well, Kelsier wasn't going to attack him. Not again. But he had heard the challenge in those words. Would he run? Of course not. Where would he run to? Nearby, an unfortunate Ska woman lurched into the afterlife, then almost immediately faded. Her figure stretched, transforming to a white mist that was pulled toward a distant dark point. That was how it looked, at least, though the point she stretched toward wasn't a place. Not really. It was beyond. A location that was somehow distant, pointing away from him no matter where he moved. She stretched, then faded away. Other spirits in the square followed. Kelsier spun on God.
What's happening?
You didn't think this was the end, did you?
God asked, waving toward the shadowy world.
This is the in-between step. After death and before...
Before what?
Before the beyond, God said. The somewhere else, where souls must go, where yours must go.
I haven't gone yet.
It takes longer for allomancers, but it will happen. It is the natural progress of things, like a stream flowing toward the ocean. I'm here not to make it occur, but to comfort you as you go. I see it as a kind of duty that comes with my position.
He rubbed the side of his face and gave Kelsier a glare that said what he thought of his reception. Nearby, another pair of people faded into the eternities. They seemed to accept it, stepping into the stretching nothingness with relieved, welcoming smiles. Kelsier looked at those departing souls.
Mare, he whispered. She went beyond. As you will.
Kelsier looked toward that point beyond, the point toward which all the dead were being drawn. He felt it, faintly, begin to tug on him as well.
No, not yet.
We need a plan, Kelsier said.
A plan? God asked.
To get me out of this. I might need your help.
There is no way out of this.
That's a terrible attitude, Kelsier said.
We'll never get anything done if you talk like that. He looked at his arm, which was, disconcertingly, starting to blur. like ink on a page that had been accidentally brushed before it dried. He felt a draining. He started walking, forcing himself into a stride. He wouldn't just stand there while eternity tried to suck him away.
"It is natural to feel uncertain," God said, falling into step beside him. "Many are anxious. Be at peace. The ones you left behind will find their own way, and you—"
"Yes, great," Kelsier said. "No time for lectures. Talk to me. Has anyone ever resisted being pulled into the beyond?"
"No."
God's form pulsed, unraveling again before coming back together.
"I've already told you."
Damn, Kelsier thought. He seems one step from falling apart himself.
"Well, you had to work with what you had. You've got to have some kind of idea what I could try, Fuzz."
"What did you call me?"
"Fuzz. I've got to call you something."
"You could try my lord," Fuzz said with a huff.
"That's a terrible nickname for a crew member."
"Crew member?"
"I need a team," Kelsier said, still striding through the shadowy version of Luthadel. "And as you can see, my options are limited. I'd rather have Docs, but he's got to go deal with the man who is claiming to be you. Besides, the initiation to this particular team of mine is a killer."
"But—"
Kelsier turned, taking the smaller man by the shoulders. Kelsier's arms were blurring further, drawn away like water being pulled into the current of an invisible stream.
"Look," Kelsier said quietly, urgently. "You said you were here to comfort me. This is how you do it. If you're right, then nothing I do now will matter. So why not humor me? Let me have one last thrill as I face down the ultimate eventuality."
Fuzz sighed.
"It would be better if you accepted what is happening."
Kelsier held Fuzz's gaze. Time was running out. He could feel himself sliding toward oblivion, a distant point of nothingness, dark and unknowable. Still, he held that gaze. If this creature acted anything like the human he resembled, then holding his eyes, with confidence, smiling, self-assured, would work. Fuzz would bend.
"So," Fuzz said, "you're not only the first to punch me, you're also the first to try to recruit me. You are a distinctively strange man."
"You don't know my friends. Next to them, I'm normal. Ideas, please."
He started walking up a street, moving just to be moving. Tenements loomed on either side, made of shifting mists. They looked like the ghosts of buildings. Occasionally a wave, a shimmer of light, would pulse through the ground and buildings, causing the mists to writhe and twist.
"I don't know what you expect me to tell you," Fuzz said, hustling up to walk beside him. "Spirits who come to this place are drawn into the beyond."
"You aren't."
"I'm a god."
"A god. Not just god." "Noted."
"Well," Kelsier said, "what is it about being a god that makes you immune?" "Everything."
"I can't help thinking you aren't pulling your weight on this team, Fuzz. Come on, work with me. You indicated that allomancers last longer. Ferrochemists, too?"
"Yes."
"People with power," Kelsier said, pointing toward the distant spires of Credit Shaw. This was the road that the Lord Ruler had taken, heading toward his palace. Though the Lord Ruler's carriage was now distant, Kelsier could see his soul glowing up there somewhere, far brighter than the others.
"What about him?" Kelsier said. "You say that everyone has to bend to death, but obviously that isn't true. He is immortal."
"He's a special case," Fuzz said, perking up. "He has ways of not dying in the first place."
"And if he did die," Kelsier pressed, "he'd last even longer on this side than I am, right?"
"Oh, indeed," Fuzz said. "He ascended, if just for a short time. He held enough of the power to expand his soul."
"Got it. Expand my soul."
God
wavered, figure distorting. He cocked his head.
"What was I saying?"
"About how the Lord Ruler expanded his soul."
"That was delightful," God said. "It was spectacular to watch. And now he is preserved. I am glad you didn't find a way to destroy him. Everyone else passes, but not him. It's wonderful."
"Wonderful?"
Kelsier felt like spitting. He's a tyrant, Fuzz.
He's unchanging, God said, defensive. He's a brilliant specimen. So unique. I don't agree with what he does, but one can empathize with the lamb while admiring the lion, can one not?
Why not stop him? If you disagree with what he does, then do something about it.
Now, God said, that would be hasty. What would removing him accomplish? It would just raise another leader who is more transient and cause chaos and even more deaths than the Lord Ruler has caused. Better to have stability. Yes, a constant leader.
Kelsier felt himself stretching further. He'd go soon. It didn't seem his new body could sweat, for if it could have, his forehead would certainly be drenched by now.
Maybe you would enjoy watching another do as he did, Kelsier said. Expand their soul.
Impossible. The power at the Well of Ascension won't be gathered and ready for more than a year.
What?
Kelsier said. The Well of Ascension?
He dredged through his memories, trying to remember the things Caesar had told him of religion and belief. The scope of it threatened to overwhelm him. He'd been playing at rebellion and thrones, focusing on religion only when he thought it might benefit his plans, and all the while, this had been in the background, ignored and unnoticed. He felt like a child. Fuzz kept speaking, oblivious to Kelsier's awakening.
But no, you wouldn't be able to use the well. I failed at locking him away. I knew I would. He's stronger. His essence seeps out in natural forms. Solid, liquid, gas. Because of how we created the world. He has plans. But are they deeper than my plans? Or have I finally outthought him?
Fuzz distorted again. His diatribe made little sense to Kelsier. He felt as if it was important, but it just wasn't urgent.
Power is returning to the Well of Ascension, Kelsier said. Fuzz hesitated.
Yes, but it's far, far away. Yes, too far for you to go. Too bad.
God, it turned out, was a terrible liar. Kelsier seized him, and the little man cringed.
Tell me, Kelsier said. Please. I can feel myself stretching away, falling, being pulled. Please.
Fuzz yanked out of his grip. Kelsier's fingers, or rather his soul's fingers, weren't working as well any longer.
No, Fuzz said. No, it is not right. If you touched it, you might just add to his power. You will go as all others.
Very well, Kelsier thought. A con, then. He let himself slump against the wall of a ghostly building. He sighed, settling down in a seated position, back to the wall.
All right.
See there, Fuzz said. Better. Much better, isn't it?
Yes, Kelsier said.
God seemed to relax. With discomfort, Kelsier noticed God was still leaking. Mist slipped away from his body at a few pinprick points. This creature was like a wounded beast, placidly going about its daily life while ignoring the bite marks. Remaining motionless was hard. Harder than facing down the Lord Ruler had been. Kelsier wanted to run, to scream, to scramble and move. That sensation of being drawn away was horrible. Somehow he feigned relaxation.
You asked, he said, as if very tired and having trouble forcing it out. Mere question. When you first appeared?
Oh, Fuzz said. Yes. You let him kill you. I had not expected that.
Your God. Can't you see the future?
To an extent, Fuzz said, animated. But it is cloudy. So cloudy. Too many possibilities. I did not see this among them, though it was probably there. You must tell me, why did you let him kill you? At the end, you just stood there.
I couldn't have gotten away, Kelsier said. Once the Lord Ruler arrived, there was no escaping. I had to confront him.
You didn't even fight.
I used the 11th medal.
Foolishness, God said.
He started pacing.
that was Ruin's influence on you. But what was the point? I can't understand why he wanted you to have that useless metal.
He perked up.
And that fight. You and the Inquisitor. Yes, I've seen many things, but that was unlike any other. Impressive. Though I wish you hadn't caused such destruction, Kelsier.
He returned to pacing, but seemed to have more of a spring to his step. Kelsier hadn't expected God to be so human, excitable, even energetic.
I saw something, Kelsier said, as the Lord Ruler killed me. The person as he might once have been. His past? A version of his past? He stood at the Well of Ascension.
Did you? Yes. The metal flared during the moment of transition. You got a glimpse of the spiritual realm, then? His connection and his past? You were using Ati's essence, unfortunately. One shouldn't trust it, even in a diluted form. Except...
He frowned, cocking his head as if trying to remember something he'd forgotten.
Another god, Kelsier whispered, closing his eyes. You said you trapped him?
He will break free eventually. It's inevitable. But the prison isn't my last gambit. It can't be.
Perhaps I should just let go, Kelsier thought, drifting.
There now, God said. Farewell, Kelsier. You served him more often than you did me, but I can respect your intentions and your remarkable ability to preserve yourself.
I saw it, Kelsier whispered. A cavern high in the mountains. The Well of Ascension.
Yes, Fuzz said. That's where I put it.
But, Kelsier said, stretching, he moved it.
Naturally.
What would the Lord Ruler do with a source of such power? Hide it far away? Or keep it very, very close, near to his fingertips? Hadn't Kelsier seen furs like the ones he'd seen the Lord Ruler wearing in his vision? He'd seen them in a room, past an Inquisitor, a building within a building, hidden within the depths of the palace. Kelsier opened his eyes. Fuzz spun toward him.
What?
Kelsier heaved himself to his feet and started running. There wasn't much self to him left, just a fuzzy, blurred image. The feet that he ran upon were distorted smudges, his form a pulled-out, unraveling piece of cloth. He barely found purchase upon the misty ground, and when he stumbled against a building, he pushed through it, ignoring the wall as one might a stiff breeze.
"So you are a runner," Fuzz said, appearing beside him. "Kelsier, child, this accomplishes nothing. I suppose I should have expected nothing less from you, frantically butting against your destiny until the last moment."
Kelsier barely heard the words. He focused on the run, on resisting that grip, hauling him backward into the nothing. He raced the grip of death itself, its cold fingers closing around him.
Run. Concentrate. Struggle to be.
The flight reminded him of another time, climbing through a pit, arms bloodied.
He would not be taken.
The pulsing became his guide, that wave that washed periodically through the shadowy world. He sought its source. He barreled through buildings, crossed thoroughfares, ignoring both metal and the souls of men, until he reached the gray mist silhouette of Credit Shaw, the Hill of a Thousand Spires. Here, Fuzz seemed to grasp what was going on.
"You zinc-tongued raven!"
the god said, moving beside him without effort while Kelsier ran with everything he had.
"You're not going to reach it in time."
He was running through mists again. Walls, people, buildings faded. Nothing but dark, swirling mists. But the mists had never been his enemy. With the thumping of those pulses to guide him, Kelsier strained through the swirling nothingness until a pillar of light exploded before him.
It was there. He could see it, burning in the mists. He could almost touch it, almost...
He was losing it, losing himself. He could move no more. Something seized him.
"Please," Kelsier whispered, falling, sliding away.
This is not right.
Fuzz's voice.
You want to see something spectacular?
Kelsier whispered.
Help me live. I'll show you spectacular.
Fuzz wavered, and Kelsier could sense the divinity's hesitance. It was followed by a sense of purpose, like a lamp being lit, and laughter.
Very well. Be preserved, Kelsier. Survivor.
Something shoved him forward, and Kelsier merged with the light. Moments later, he blinked awake. He lay in the misty world still, but his body, or, well, his spirit, had reformed. He lay in a pool of light like liquid metal. He could feel its warmth all around him, invigorating. He could make out a misty cavern outside the pool. It seemed to be made of natural rock, though he couldn't tell for certain because it was all mist on this side. The pulsing surged through him.
The power, Fuzz said, standing beyond the light. You are now part of it, Kelsier.
Yeah,
Kelsier said, climbing to his feet, dripping with radiant light.
I can feel it, thrumming through me.
You are trapped with him, Fuzz said.
He seemed shallow, wan, compared to the powerful light that Kelsier stood amid.
I warned you. This is a prison.
Kelsier settled down, breathing in and out.
I'm alive.
According to a very loose definition of the word?
Kelsier smiled.
It'll do.
2. Immortality proved to be far more frustrating than Kelsier had anticipated. Of course, he didn't know if he was truly immortal or not. He didn't have a heartbeat, which was only unnerving when he noticed it, and didn't need to breathe. But who could say if his soul aged or not in this place? In the hours following his survival, Kelsier inspected his new home. God was right. It was a prison. The pool he was in grew deep at the center point and was filled with liquid light that seemed a reflection of something more potent on the other side. Fortunately, though the well was not wide, only the very center was deeper than he was tall. He could stay around the perimeter and only be in the light up to his waist. It was thin, thinner than water, and easy to move through. He could also step out of this pool and its attached pillar of light, settling onto the rocky side. Everything in this cavern was made of mist, though the edges of the well. He seemed to see the stone better here, more fully. It appeared to have some actual color to it, as if this place were part spirit, like him. He could sit on the edge of the well, legs dangling into the light. But if he tried to walk too far from the well, misty wisps of that same power trailed him and held him back, like chains. They wouldn't let him get more than a few feet from the pool. He tried straining, pushing, dashing and throwing himself out, but nothing worked. He always pulled up sharply once he got a few feet away. After several hours of trying to break free, Kelsier slumped on the side of the well, feeling exhausted? Was that even the right word? He had no body and felt no traditional signs of tiredness. No headache, no strained muscles. But he was fatigued, worn out like an old banner allowed to flap in the wind through too many rainstorms. Forced to relax, he took stock of what little he could make out of his surroundings. Fuzz was gone. The god had been distracted by something a short time after Kelsier's preservation and had vanished. That left Kelsier with a cavern made of shadows, the glowing pool itself, and some pillars extending through the chamber. At the other end, he saw the glow of bits of metal, though he couldn't figure out what they were. This was the sum of his existence. Had he just locked himself away in this little prison for eternity? It seemed an ultimate irony to him that he might have managed to cheat death, only to find himself suffering a fate far worse.
What would happen to his mind if he spent a few decades in here? A few centuries? He sat on the rim of the well and tried to distract himself by thinking about his friends. He'd trusted in his plans at the moment of his death, but now he saw so many holes in his plot to inspire a rebellion. What if the Ska didn't rise up? What if the stockpiles he'd prepared weren't enough? Even if that all worked, so much would ride upon the shoulders of some very ill-prepared men. And one remarkable young woman. Lights drew his attention, and he leaped to his feet, eager for any distraction. A group of figures, outlined as glowing souls, had entered this room in the world of the living. There was something odd about them. Their eyes... inquisitors. Kelsier refused to flinch, though by every instinct he dreaded these creatures. He had bested one of their champions. He would fear them no longer. Instead, he paced his confines, trying to discern what the three inquisitors were lugging toward him. Something large and heavy, but it didn't glow at all. A body, Kelsier realized. Headless. Was this the one he'd killed? Yes, it must be. Another inquisitor was reverently carrying the dead one's spikes, a whole pile of them, all placed together inside a large jar of liquid. Kelsier squinted at it, taking a single step out of his prison, trying to determine what he was seeing.
Blood, Fuzz said, suddenly standing nearby. They store the spikes in blood until they can be used again. In that way, they can prevent the spikes from losing their effectiveness.
Huh. Kelsier said, stepping to the side as the inquisitors tossed the body into the well, then dropped in the head. Both evaporated. Do they do this often?
Each time one of their number dies, Fuzz said. I doubt they even know what they are doing. Tossing a dead body into that pool is beyond meaningless.
The inquisitors retreated with the spikes of the fallen. Judging by their slumped forms, the four creatures were exhausted. My plan, Kelsier said, looking to Fuzz. How is it going? My crew should have discovered the warehouse by now. The people of the city... Did it work? Are the Ska angry? Fuzz asked. The revolution, the plan, Kelsier said, stepping toward him. God shifted backward, getting just beyond where Kelsier would be able to reach, hand going to the knife at his belt. Perhaps that punch earlier had been ill-advised.
Fuzz, listen. You have to go nudge them. We'll never have a better chance of overthrowing him.
The plan, Fuzz said.
He unraveled for a moment before returning.
Yes, there was a plan. I remember I had a plan. When I was smarter.
The plan, Kelsier said, is to get the Ska to revolt. It won't matter how powerful the Lord Ruler is, won't matter if he's immortal, once we toss him in chains and lock him away.
Fuzz nodded, distracted.
Fuzz?
He shook, glancing toward Kelsier, and the sides of his head unraveled slowly, like a fraying rug, each thread seeping away and vanishing into nothing.
He's killing me, you know. He wants me gone before the next cycle, though. Perhaps I can hold out.
You hear me, Ruin? I'm not dead yet. Still here.
Hell, Kelsier thought, cold. God is going insane. Fuzz started pacing.
I know you're listening, changing what I write, what I have written. You make our religion all about you. They hardly remember the truth any longer. Subtle as always, you worm.
Fuzz, Kelsier said. Could you just go?
I needed a sign,
Fuzz whispered, stopping near Kelsier.
Something he couldn't change. A sign of the weapon I'd buried. The boiling point of water, I think. Maybe its freezing point? But what if the units change over the years? I needed something that would be remembered always, something they'll immediately recognize.
He leaned in.
16.
16? Kelsier said.
16, Fuzz grinned. Clever, don't you think?
Because it means...
The number of metals, Fuzz said, in allomancy.
There are 10. 11 if you count the one I discovered.
No! No, no, that's stupid! 16! It's the perfect number! They'll see! They have to see!
Fuzz started pacing again, and his head returned, mostly, to its earlier state. Kelsier sat down on the rim of his prison. God's actions were far more erratic than they had been earlier. Had something changed, or, like a human with a mental disease, was God simply better at some times than he was at others? Fuzz looked up abruptly. He winced, turning his eyes toward the ceiling, as if it were going to collapse on him. He opened his mouth, jaw working, but made no sound.
What?
He finally said.
What have you done?
Kelsier stood up in his prison.
What have you done?
Fuzz screamed. Kelsier smiled.
Hope, he said softly. I have hoped. He was perfect, Fuzz said. He was the only one of you that...
He spun suddenly, gazing down the shadowy room beyond Kelsier's prison. Someone stood at the other end. A tall, commanding figure, not made of light. Familiar clothing of both white and black, contrasting with itself. The Lord Ruler. His spirit, at least. Kelsier stepped up onto the rim of stone around the pool and waited as the Lord Ruler strode toward the light of the well. He stopped in place when he noticed Kelsier.
I killed you, the Lord Ruler said. Twice. Yet you live.
Yes, we're all aware of how strikingly incompetent you are. I'm glad you're beginning to see it for yourself. That's the first step toward change.
The Lord Ruler sniffed and looked around at the chamber with its diaphanous walls. His eyes passed over Fuzz, but he didn't give the god much consideration. Kelsier exulted. She'd done it. She'd actually done it. How? What secret had he missed?
That grin, the Lord Ruler said to Kelsier, is insufferable. I did kill you.
I returned the favor.
You didn't kill me, survivor.
I forged the blade that did. Fuzz cleared his throat. It is my duty to be with you as you transition. Don't be worried or...
Be silent,
the Lord Ruler said, inspecting Kelsier's prison.
Do you know what you've done, survivor?
I've won.
You've brought ruin upon the world. You are a pawn, so proud, like a soldier on the battlefield, confident he controls his own destiny while ignoring the thousands upon thousands in his rank.
He shook his head.
Only a year left. So close. I would have again ransomed this undeserving planet.
This is just...
Fuzz swallowed.
This is an in-between step. After death and before the somewhere else. Where souls must go. Where yours must go, Rashik.
Rashik? Kelsier looked again at the Lord Ruler. You could not tell a Terrasman by skin tone. That was a mistake many people made. Some Terras were dark, others light. Still, he would have thought... The room filled with furs. This man in the cold.
Idiot. That was what it meant, of course. It was all a lie, Kelsier said. A trick. Your fabled immortality? Your healing? Ferrochemy. But how did you become an allomancer?
The Lord Ruler stepped right up to the pillar of light that rose from the prison, and the two stared at one another. As they had on that square above when alive. Then the Lord Ruler stuck his hand into the light. Kelsier set his jaw and pictured sudden horrifying images of spending an eternity trapped with the man who had murdered Mare. The Lord Ruler pulled his hand out, however, trailing light like molasses. He turned his hand over, inspecting the glow, which eventually faded.
So now what? Kelsier asked. You remain here?
Here? The Lord Ruler laughed. With an impudent mouse and a half-blooded rat? Please.
He closed his eyes, and then he stretched toward that point that defied geometry. He faded, then finally vanished. Kelsier gaped.
He left?
To the somewhere else, Fuzz said, sitting down.
I should not have been so hopeful. Everything passes. Nothing is eternal. That is what Ate always claimed.
He didn't have to leave, Kelsier said. He could have remained, could have survived.
I told you, by this point, rational people want to move on.
Fuzz vanished. Kelsier remained standing there, at the edge of his prison, the glowing pool tossing his shadow across the floor. He stared into the misty room with its columns, waiting for something, though he wasn't certain what. Confirmation? Celebration? A change of some sort? Nothing. Nobody came. Not even the Inquisitors. How had the revolution gone? Were the Ska now rulers of society? He would have liked to see the deaths of the noble ranks treated in turn as they had treated their slaves. He received no confirmation, no sign of what was happening above. They didn't know about the well, obviously. All Kelsier could do was settle down and wait. Part 2. Well. 1. What Kelsier would have given for a pencil and paper. Something to write on, some way to pass the time. A means of collecting his thoughts and creating a plan of escape. As the days passed, he tried scratching notes into the sides of the well, which proved impossible. He tried unraveling threads from his clothing, then tying knots in them to represent words. Unfortunately, threads vanished soon after he pulled them free, and his shirt and trousers immediately returned to the way they'd looked before. Fuzz, during one of his rare visits, explained that the clothing wasn't real. Or rather, it was just an extension of Kelsier's spirit. For the same reason, he couldn't use his hair or blood to write. He didn't technically have either. It was supremely frustrating, but sometime during his second month of imprisonment, he admitted the truth to himself. Writing wasn't all that important. He'd never been able to write while confined to the pits, but he'd planned all the same. Yes, they had been feverish plans, impossible dreams, but lack of paper hadn't stopped him. The attempts to write weren't about making plans so much as finding something to do. A quest to soak up his time. It had worked for a few weeks, but in acknowledging the truth, he lost his will to keep trying to find a way to write. Fortunately, about the time he acknowledged this, he discovered something new about his prison. Whispering. Oh, he couldn't hear it, but could he hear anything? He didn't have ears. He was, what had Fuzz said? A cognitive shadow? A force of mind holding his spirit together, preventing it from diffusing? Says would have had a field day. He loved mystical topics like this. Regardless, Kelsier could sense something. The well continued to pulse as it had before, sending waves of writhing shock through the walls of his prison and out into the world. Those pulses seemed to be strengthening, a continuous thrumming, like the sense Bronze lent one in hearing people using allomancy. Inside of each pulse was something. Whispers, he called them, though they contained more than just words. They were saturated with sounds, scents, and images. He saw a book, with ink staining its pages. A group of people sharing a story. Terracemen in robes? Says it? The pulses whispered chilling words.
Hero of ages, the announcer, world bringer.
He recognized those terms from the ancient terrace prophecies mentioned in Alendi's logbook.
Kelsier knew the discomforting truth now. He had met a god, which meant there was real depth and reality to faith. Did this mean there was something to that array of religions Sayes had kept in his pocket, like playing cards to stack a deck? You have brought ruin upon this world. Kelsier settled into the powerful light that was the well and found, with practice, that if he submerged himself in the center right before a pulse, he could ride it a short distance. It sent his consciousness traveling out of the well to catch glimpses of each pulse's destination. He thought he saw libraries, quiet chambers where distant terracemen spoke, exchanging stories and memorizing them. He saw madmen huddled in streets, whispering the words the pulses delivered. He saw a mistborn man, noble, jumping between buildings. Something other than Kelsier rode with those pulses. Something directing an unseen work. Something interested in the lore of the terrace. It took Kelsier an embarrassingly long time to realize he should try another tack. He dunked himself into the center of the pool, surrounded by the too-thin liquid light, and when the next pulse came, he pushed himself in the opposite direction, not along with the pulse, but toward its source. The light thinned, and he looked into some place new, a dark expanse that was neither the world of the dead nor the world of the living. In that other place he found destruction, decay, not blackness, for blackness was too complete, too whole to represent this thing he sensed in the beyond. It was a vast force that would gleefully take something as simple as darkness, then rip it apart. This force was time infinite. It was the winds that weathered, the storms that broke, the timeless waves running slowly, slowly, slowly to a stop as the sun and the planet cooled to nothing. It was the ultimate end and destiny of all things. And it was angry. Kelsier pulled back, throwing himself up out of the light, gasping, trembling. He had met God, but for every push there was a pull. What was the opposite of God? What he had seen troubled him so much that he almost didn't return. He almost convinced himself to ignore the terrible thing in the darkness. He nearly blocked out the whispers and tried to pretend he had never seen that awesome, vast destroyer. But of course he couldn't do that. Kelsier had never been able to resist a secret. This thing, even more than meeting Fuzz, proved that Kelsier had been playing all along at a game whose rules far outmatched his understanding. That both terrified and excited him. And so he returned to gaze upon the thing. Again and again he went, struggling to comprehend, though he felt like an ant trying to understand a symphony. He did this for weeks, right up until the point when the thing looked at him. Before it hadn't seemed to notice, as one might not notice the spider hiding inside a keyhole. This time, though, Kelsier somehow alerted it. The thing churned in an abrupt change of motion, then flowed toward Kelsier, its essence surrounding the place from which Kelsier observed. It rotated slowly about itself in a vortex, like an ocean that began turning around one spot. Kelsier couldn't help but feel that an infinite, vast eye was suddenly squinting at him. He fled, splashing, kicking up the liquid light as he backed away into his prison. He was so alarmed that he felt a phantom heartbeat thrumming inside of him, his essence acknowledging the proper reaction to shock and trying to replicate it. That stilled as he settled into his customary seat at the side of the pool. The sight of that thing turning its attention upon him, the sensation of being tiny in the face of something so vast, deeply troubled Kelsier. For all his confidence and plotting, he was basically nothing. His entire life had been an exercise in unintentional bravado. Months passed. He didn't return to study the thing beyond. Kelsier instead waited for Fuzz to visit and check in on him, as he did periodically. When Fuzz finally arrived, he looked even more unraveled than the last time, mists escaping from his shoulders,
a small hole in his left cheek exposing a view into his mouth, his clothing growing ragged.
"Fuzz?" Kelsier asked.
"I saw something. This ruin you spoke of. I think I can watch it." Fuzz just paced back and forth, not even speaking.
"Fuzz? Hey, are you listening?"
"Nothing."
"Idiot," Kelsier tried. "Hey, you're a disgrace to deityhood. Are you paying attention?"
Even an insult didn't work. Fuzz just kept pacing.
"Useless," Kelsier thought as a pulse of power left the well.
He happened to catch a glimpse of Fuzz's eyes as the pulse passed. And in that moment, Kelsier was reminded why he had named this creature a god in the first place. There was an infinity beyond those eyes, a complement to the one trapped here in this well. Fuzz was the infinity of a note held perfectly, never wavering, the majesty of a painting, frozen and still, capturing a slice of life from a time gone by. It was the power of many, many moments, compressed somehow into one. Fuzz stopped before him, and his cheeks unraveled fully, revealing a skeleton beneath that was also unraveling, eyes glowing with eternity. This creature was a divinity. He was just a broken one. Fuzz left, and Kelsier didn't see him for many months. The stillness and silence of his prison seemed as endless as the creatures he had studied. At one point he found himself planning how to draw the attention of the destructive one, if only to beg it to end him. It was when he started talking to himself that he really got worried.
"What have you done? I saved the world, freed mankind, gotten revenge. The goals can align. You are a coward. I changed the world. And if you're just a pawn of that thing beyond, like the Lord Ruler claimed, Kelsier, what if you have no destiny other than to do as you're told?"
He contained the outburst, recovered himself, but the fragility of his own sanity unnerved him. He hadn't been completely sane in the pits, either. In a moment of stillness, staring at the shifting mists that made up the walls of the cavernous room, he admitted a deeper secret to himself. He hadn't been completely sane since the pits. That was one reason why he didn't at first trust his senses when someone spoke to him.
"Now this I did not expect."
Kelsier shook himself, then turned with suspicion, worried he was hallucinating. It was possible to see all kinds of things in those shifting mists that made up the walls of the cavern, if you stared at them long enough. This, however, was not a figure made of mist. It was a man with stark white hair, his face defined by angular features and a sharp nose. He seemed vaguely familiar to Kelsier, but he couldn't place why. The man sat on the floor, one leg up and his arm resting upon his knee. In his hand he held some kind of stick. Wait, no, he wasn't sitting on the floor, but on an object that somehow seemed to be floating upon the mists. The white, log-like object sank halfway into the mists of the floor and rocked like a ship on the water, bobbing in place. The rod in the man's hand was a short oar, and his other leg, the one that wasn't up, rested over the side of the log and vanished into the misty ground, visible only as an obscured silhouette.
"You," the man said to Kelsier, "are very bad at doing as you're supposed to."
"Who are you?"
Kelsier asked, stepping to the edge of his prison, eyes narrowed. This was no hallucination. He refused to believe his sanity was that far gone.
"A spirit?" "Alas," the man said, "death has never really suited me. Bad for the complexion, you see."
He studied Kelsier, lips raised in a knowing smile. Kelsier hated him immediately.
"Got stuck there, did you?" the man said. "In Etty's prison?"
He clicked his tongue.
"Fitting recompense for what you did. Poetic, even."
"What I did?"
destroying the pits, oh scarred one. That was the only perpendicularity on this planet with any reasonable ease of access. This one is very dangerous, growing more so by the minute, and difficult to find. By doing as you did, you basically ended traffic through Scadrial, upended an entire mercantile ecosystem, which I'll admit was fun to watch.
"Who are you?"
Kelsier said. "I?" the man said. "I am a drifter, a miscreant, the flame's last breath, made of smoke at its passing. That's needlessly obtuse." "Well, I'm that, too." The man cocked his head. "That mostly, if I'm honest. And you claim to not be dead?" "If I were, would I need this?" the drifter said, knocking his oar against the front of his small, log-like vessel. It bobbed at the motion, and for the first time Kelsier was able to make out what it was. Arms he'd missed before, hanging down into the mists, obscured. A head that drooped at its neck, a white robe masking the shape. "A corpse," he whispered. "Oh, Spanky, here is just a spirit. It's damnably difficult to get about in this sub-astral. Anyone physical risks slipping through these mists and falling, perhaps forever. So many thoughts pool together here, becoming what you see around you, and you need something finer to travel over it all."
"That's horrible,"
says the man who built a revolution upon the backs of the dead. "At least I only need one corpse." Kelsier folded his arms. This man was wary. Though he spoke lightheartedly, he watched Kelsier with care, and held back as if contemplating a method of attack.
"He wants something," Kelsier guessed. "Something that I have, maybe?"
No, he seemed legitimately surprised that Kelsier was there. He had come here intending to visit the well. Perhaps he wanted to enter it, access the power? Or did he perhaps just want to have a look at the thing beyond?
"Well, you're obviously resourceful," Kelsier said. "Perhaps you can help me with my predicament."
"Alas," the drifter said, "your case is hopeless." Kelsier felt his heart sink. "Yes, nothing to be done," the drifter continued. "You are indeed stuck with that face. By manifesting those same features on this side, you show that even your soul is resigned to you always looking like one ugly son of a..."
"Bastard," Kelsier cut in. "You had me for a second."
"Now that's demonstrably wrong," the drifter said, pointing. "I believe only one of us in this room is illegitimate, and it isn't me. Unless..."
He tapped the floating corpse in the head with his oar.
"What about you, Spanky?"
The corpse actually mumbled something.
"Happily married parents? Still alive? Really? I'm sorry for their loss."
The drifter looked to Kelsier, smiling innocently.
"No bastards on this side? What about yours?"
"The bastard by birth," Kelsier said, "is always better off than the one by choice, drifter. I'll own up to my nature if you own up to yours."
The drifter chuckled, eyes alight.
"Nice, nice. Tell me, since we're on the topic, which are you? A scar with noble bearing or a nobleman with scar interests? Which half is more you, survivor?"
"Well," Kelsier said dryly, "considering that the relatives of my noble half spent the better part of 4 decades trying to exterminate me, I'd say I'm more inclined toward the scar side."
"Ah," the drifter said, leaning forward. "But I didn't ask which you liked more. I asked which you were. Is it relevant?" "It's interesting," the drifter said, "which is enough for me."
He reached down to the corpse he was using as a boat, then removed something from his pocket. Something that glowed, though Kelsier couldn't tell if it was something naturally radiant or just something made of metal.
The glow faded as the drifter administered it to his vessel, then, covering the motion with a cough as if to hide from Kelsier what he was doing, furtively applied some of the glow to his oar. When he placed the oar back into the mists, it sent the boat scooting closer to the well.
"Is there a way for me to escape this prison?" Kelsier asked.
"How about this?" the drifter said. "We'll have an insult battle. Winner gets to ask one question and the other has to answer truthfully. I'll start. What's wet, ugly, and has scars on its arms?"
Kelsier raised an eyebrow. All of this talk was a distraction, as evidenced by Drifter scooting again closer to the prison. He's going to try to jump for the well, Kelsier thought. Leap in, hoping to be fast enough to surprise me.
"No guess?" Drifter asked. "The answer is basically anyone who spends time